Redefining My Life Priorities, Part 3. Today we're looking at the family because we all have families. Whether you're married or single, whether you have children or whether you don't have children, you came from a family and you have a family. And if your immediate family, what we call the nuclear family in the West, the mother, the father, the children, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, whether they're living in another state or far away from you, then God's called you to be in a family called the church, the local church, and this is your family then. So if you don't have immediate blood relatives, and this is your family, then apply these principles to your friends and to your neighbors. Because Redefining Life Priorities, Part 3, is a message that God asked me to speak in the month of January. This might be the last one. I was going to go one more time, but this might just be it. We might have gone far enough. But whenever you and I start the year, many of us, and I'm speaking for myself, look at my life and I say, oh, I'm going to lose weight this year. This year I'm going to da-da-da-da-da. And I make a resolution. How many of you have ever had New Year's resolutions? How many of you have kept those New Year's resolutions? Because a resolution means a new solution to the same old problem. And God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to redefine not your solutions to what you see as your problems, but Debbie, I actually want you to redefine and look at your life this year, and I want you to redefine your life priorities. And that's actually what we're doing as a church, as a staff. We're stepping back. We're looking at how we're doing church. We're looking at the city that that God's placed us in, the people that God's brought to us to be a family to. And we're redefining, what is it, God, you want us to do, and how do you want us to do it? And so the definition of priority, the definition that I have given for priority, I looked it up in the Webster's, I did some research, and this is in my own words, this is what I believe priority is. That which is most important to you, verified in your life by how and what you spend your time, your emotions, your energy, and your resources on. Your priorities in life. In other words, if you really want to know what's important, what do you spend your life doing? Because the bottom line is you only have so much time. We have so many years, so many months, so many weeks, so many days, so many minutes, so many seconds, and once they're spent, they're gone. We don't get them back. And so our life priorities are actually verified by what we spend our time, our emotions, our resources, and our energy on. A lot of people have priorities with work. That's their top priority. They spend most of their life pursuing careers and working in the workplace. Some people have priorities in sports. Some people have priorities in the house of God and God. Some people have priorities with families. And all of these things that make up our life, God says, I want you to get them in godly order, and I want you to define and redefine your life priorities based on what my priorities are for you. Because I can live my life for me and live it all wrong. So we looked at part one, redefining life priorities. We looked at, and we took a glimpse at the Ten Commandments, because actually, if you want to know what God's priorities are, he laid them out for Israel in the Old Testament. And the Ten Commandments, we saw the first four commandments, the first three were about God. And God's first and number one priority is God. Because he takes the Ten Commandments, and Jesus, in Matthew, is asked, what is the greatest commandment by a Pharisee? And he takes the Ten Commandments and he brings them down to two. And he says, this is the greatest commandment, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, he said, hang all the law and the prophets. So in other words, you can take the ten and you can hone them down to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then the apostles, through the teaching of the New Testament and the letters, the epistles, honed the two down to one and said, here is the commandment that fills all the commandments, and that is agape love. That when we walk in the love of God, because love does no harm to his neighbor, we are fulfilling everything God wants us to fulfill. So from 10 to 2 to 1. But what I did is I took the Ten Commandments, looked at the two commandments, and I said, let's look at God's priorities in these. And there's three things that shine out at me. Number one, God. He's number one priority. First commandment, he didn't stop it there. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all of you, all that's in you. Priority number one. Priority number two is me. Because he says then, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we miss this because a lot of times we don't like us. Ooh, what a thought. I could sit here right now and have a conversation with every one of you. And I would ask you, give me three things that you don't like about yourself. And instantly, here comes the list. If I asked you, give me three things that you love about yourself, you would be hesitant to tell me, wouldn't you? Why? Because first of all, we're taught that's pride. And because we're always picking on us as women. At least that's been my experience living with the girls. Would you say that's true? Yes. But God says, listen, Debbie, how can you be what I need you to be if you don't love you? If you don't deal with you and learn to know you and appreciate you, instead of putting myself down all the time and knocking myself and constantly depressing myself with me, anybody ever want to be rescued from me? God, could you rescue me from me? What if we actually, not in pride, because God doesn't do pride, but what if we actually just, and to coin a phrase from the world, we're comfortable and liked our own skin in the season that we're in the place that we're at? Wouldn't that be something? I mean, just that thought, girls, is amazing to me. You actually woke up in the morning, looked in the mirror, and you smiled at yourself. And you said, wow, hi. Hi, image. Another day. Instead of going, oh, my God, where am I? Where's my face? Oh, my gosh, my figure. Oh, turn the lights off. You know, there's my husband groping for me. You know, no, you're not going to see me. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So God's priorities, God, me, and the last one, others. You shall love your neighbor, the one next to you. And when they asked him, who is my neighbor is any human being on the planet that is in my space, my neighbor. Strangers, everybody, because he gave the example of the Good Samaritan, right? And that stranger that was hurt, and that he took care of him, a stranger. So today we're going to look at others. And looking at the Ten Commandments, I don't know if Sarita did this or not, but do we have the Ten Commandments up there, or the last five? Because I wanted to look at those. Honor your mother and your father. Is that up there? There we go. This commandment is commandment number five. And this actually begins today's priority, which is the family. Because now we're on others. We've looked at me. We looked at our personal lives, our emotions, our mental capabilities, our physical priorities this year, taking care of us. And you need to take care of you, because if you don't take care of you, nobody else is. So do yourself a favor and start to love yourself. It's okay. You actually have permission from God to like who you are. And if you don't like who you are, then you have the ability to change it. If you don't like your body style, then let's do something about it this year. I know it's hard. I love to eat. Have you ever noticed that the very thing that Eve fell in was food? Okay, so I have an eating disorder. All right, so there you go. We all do, except the really skinny, disciplined ones, because I go up and down. Do something about it this year. Get together, encourage each other, join a Zumba class. Scrounge around for change and put the kids in childcare and learn how to Zumba and then take Zumba at home. I mean, you can do it at home. Learn how to do it here and then dance yourself into physical fitness. Look, I'm talking to me. I'm not just talking to you. So we looked at ourselves. Now we're looking at others. And when I look at others, the first thing that comes to mind for me is family. Others. And so today we're going to look at family. And the fifth commandment, if we're going to look at it in line, which we did, is honor your mother and your father. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this is the first commandment with a promise. God commands Israel. Remember, he brought them out of Egypt. He was setting his social order, his priorities in their lives. The commandments aren't done away with. They're just fulfilled in Jesus Christ, right? Love is the fulfillment of all the commandments because love does no harm to his neighbor. Agape love. We'll study that this year again because this church believes in living in the love of God. It's the supreme power of the universe. It works my faith. But God says, honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long on the earth. It's the fifth commandment, and it's the first one with a promise. When you honor your mother and your father, you actually are going to extend your life. Now, some of you might be instantly thinking, well, you don't know my mom and dad, or you don't know my dad, you don't know my mom, you don't know what they've done to me. No, I don't. And God doesn't say honor them because they deserve it. He says do it because I said it. They may be the worst of the worst. You may have been abused. You may have been left to die somewhere. I don't know, worst case scenario, but God says honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long. In other words, respect the position that they have. They brought you into this world. Whether they were good parents or not, God used them to bring you, the precious, beautiful woman that you are, he used them to bring you into this planet. And you are sitting here today. You are handpicked by God. You are a believer, and if you're not, we can get that taken care of today because at the tables we can help you to come into the kingdom of God if you don't know Jesus Christ. But you're here today seeking God or you wouldn't be here. God says, honor them because I use them to bring you into the earth. And your life is absolutely important and vital. So, let's look at the word honor. I did some research on it. And let me just give you what honor means. It means personal integrity, respect, dignity, reputation, a mark of distinction. To honor someone means to respect them, to place them in high esteem, to admire them. To dishonor, which is the opposite, means to show contempt, scornfulness, ridicule, to belittle, to reject, to disregard, a strong feeling of contempt and a loss of respect. Actually, there's more words for dishonor than there are for honor. And I'm just thinking, as we go into the family and redefining our life priorities, as we look at our families today, looking at our parents, looking at our husbands, looking at our children, the people that make up our families, how do we honor our families? And I want to deal with that today. Because for me personally, it's easy for me to get frustrated with people, with my family, and to begin to ridicule or to disrespect. And I'm often to disrespect before I even know it. And I'm not holding them in high esteem. And God says, if you do that, you're actually diminishing the life that I have for you. And if we're going to redefine life priorities today, I want us to look at our families. How do we treat our families? What are we doing in our families? If you're married, we're going to be talking about our husbands because that's a huge piece. If you're single, you're not married, you don't have that piece in your life, but you have other pieces in your life that God says we're to honor all men. And let me read this scripture to you. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10 in the Amplified, it says, love one another with brotherly affection, as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. The kingdom of God is moved and it functions in honor, in respect, in giving dignity, in giving admiration, in lifting up. God runs his kingdom that way. That's why pride is such an offense to God, because Satan fell in pride. Pride is personal, independent, selfish desires. That's what pride is. It's independent, selfish desires. Whereas humility is dependency on God. And when we honor each other, we are lifting each other up. We are building and we're not tearing down. And in Proverbs, it says that a wise woman can build her house with her hands or she can tear it down. So if you're not happy with your family this year, as we start this year off, let's look and see first of all, the responsibility starts with us, because that's where the buck stops. When you and I get to the throne of grace and we go through the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and my life is going to pass through the fire of his love. That's what it says. Jim's not going to be standing next to me. My children aren't going to be there. It's me and Jesus. It's my life. It's me. It's my choices. Nobody makes choices for me. I make choices for my attitude, my thoughts, and my heart. And that's what's judged, your heart and then your actions. So this is a time of really looking into your own hearts. This is a time when I'm looking into my heart. How do I treat my family? And if I were to be judged by Jesus in my attitude and my actions towards my family, what would the Lord say? And that's what I want us to think about today. So let's look at some things. I came up with about four problems. There's many. These might be my four. But I thought, let's look at four issues in the family. And what does God say about honoring and taking care of those issues? Is that all right? So we looked at honor. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The reverent and the worshipful fear of the Lord brings instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor." So if I'm going to be honored, I'm going to have to learn how to humble myself and give honor. Because a lot of times that's what it is you don't want to respect somebody that you disrespect and they've just messed up. And how can you possibly respect when they've just screwed up? Has anybody ever had that problem? Lord, you tell me to honor. Oh, let's take our parents. Some of you have a hard time honoring your parents because they've been lousy parents, right? But God says to do it anyway. Why? Because he said to do it. So, what am I saying? In our families, what we treat as common will become common. What we treat with honor and respect and dignity and admiration will become very special to us. So I guess my first question is, are you treating your family? Am I treating my family as just common? Has my husband, has he become just common to me? Have my children, have my grandchildren become common to me? What am I doing with honor? I'm going to go to the Word of God this morning. And looking at honor, I'm going to look at the number one issue that deals with men. How many are married in here? Let me see your hands. Okay, most of you are married. How many of you are not married? Let me see your hands. There's a lot of you that aren't married. So you can say this to your married friends. But God is very, very clear about what a wife is to do with her husband. And she is to reverence and respect her husband. Now that might be tough for some of you because the boy has just messed up. And he is not serving God. And if he is serving God, you wonder where he's getting his instructions. But this is what God says in 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at the Amplified Version. I think it's up on the overheads. It's what God says. "In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands." Notice how it says your own husbands. Doesn't say somebody else's husband. They don't pay the bills. It's your husband. Maybe he's not paying the bills either, but you got the ringy on your finger. He's your husband. "Be submissive to your own husband. Subordinate yourself as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them." See, that's everything counter to our culture that says that we are women, hear us roar. God says you're secondary. He's first, you're second. God, I don't like that. Too bad. I'm God. Go back to first priority. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That means I obey his commandments. That means what he tells me I am. He made me woman. I didn't choose to be woman. He made me woman. When I was created in my mother's womb, he didn't give me the male plumbing. He gave me the female plumbing. Therefore, I'm in this position, and this is what he says I'm to do. If I'm married, I am secondary to my husband. I'm to adapt myself to my husband. Listen to this. "So that even if any do not obey the word of God," here's the rascals. He knows men. He knows exactly what they do, and he knows exactly how they are. He made them too. They are his sons. He knows they are not going to listen to us, and he knows they are going to disrespect you. Oh my, did I say that? Sometimes a man has to learn how to respect a woman. He will learn how to respect a woman in this house because my husband respects women and the pastors of this church respect women. We honor women in this house. So get them here if you can. But it says that if they do not obey the word of God, they may be won over by not by discussion. Not by discussion. Not by discussion. Not by discussion. You can't fix it with words. But by the godly life of their wives. When they observe the pure and the modest way in which you conduct yourself together with your reverence for your husband. You are to feel for him all that reverence includes. Here we go. You are to respect him. You are to defer to him. You are to revere him. To honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him. But God, you don't know what he's doing. Yes, God knows what he's doing. That is to admire, praise, praise him, admire. God, he already has the biggest head, if you knew. He already thinks he's all that. Be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. God says to do that when they're not obeying the word of God. Why? Because God knows the power of reverence. He knows how men are made, and they have an inside button that needs to be pushed by a woman, and you're the only one that can push it. It's called reverence button. Just like you've got a love button on the inside of you. Romance. You want to be cherished, prized, taken care of. That's our buttons. A man only has two. Submission and reverence are the two big ones. You push that reverence button on him, and something happens inside his heart. And the kingdom of God begins to come around him, and it begins to draw him into the power of honor and respect from a woman that God gave him. And it will change him. It's the hardest thing to do because he doesn't deserve it in the natural. But God says, when they're not obeying the word of God, this is what you need to do. And this is where the grace of God and the power of God comes in to help you to do it. Because remember, definition of grace, God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. Go back to first priority. Do these boys deserve it in the natural? No. But we're not in the natural. We're in the supernatural. And if you want to walk in the supernatural, just like if you want to lose weight, then you're going to have to do what you've never done before, which means you got to step into the supernatural kingdom of God, and you got to obey the command of the Lord. And God knows that inside of the woman, because of the way we are made and what we are wired to do, remember, he pulled us out of the man. You don't know who you are. You don't know the influence and the power that you have. And when God pulled Eve out of Adam and he disconnected them because they were one, he took that woman and he brought her to that man because he was alone and she fulfilled what he needed. You are the only human being on the planet as his wife that can make him not alone. Now, he may not know that. He may not like you. He may be a player. He may be an idiot. He may be a rascal. But God says if they're not obeying the word of God and you do this, the power of that reverence is going to pull them into the kingdom of God because they are a son of God and they are sanctified by your faith. You know what that means? Your prayers, little powerful woman of God, when you think nobody's listening, nothing is changing and it's just getting worse, as you're praying for that man, your prayers are going straight to heaven. And heaven is working on that. You may not see it, and you don't know what God is doing, but by faith, what you have asked God for, God is working on. And God says that your family is sanctified, set apart, and decreed holy by your faith. In other words, you're the kingdom in that family right now. You're pulling rank from heaven. They may ridicule you. They may not like you. They may think, oh, mom's just gone crazy. She's at that church all the time. So what? They have no clue the power that is coming and working through your life and your faith and your prayers.
So don't you dare give up.
That's why we have girlfriends, because you come here, you get filled up, you get encouraged. We pat you on the back. We dust you off. We say, come on, you're going to be all right. We pick you up and we send you out again to go be the woman of God you're supposed to be. Don't you give up. So, honor. If you're not honoring your husbands, go home and respect them tonight. I copied this verse and I put it on your evaluation sheet because it's amplified and it spells it out for you. Prize him, God. I don't want to prize him. Be devoted to him. Admire him. In the human sense, adore him. Oh, yep, that's what it says. So you have a private chat with the Holy Spirit and he will help you get through this. Next thing, let's move on from honor. How about being easily offended in the family? Short tempers. How about that one? Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with well-advised is wisdom. In other words, pride and contention come, contention or strife comes because of pride. Priorities in our homes this year. Are we being easily offended? Is this something we need to look at? I don't know what it is, but it seems like hurts and offenses build up. And you don't even know it. And before you know it, your heart's kind of getting loaded down with offenses. And that's what an offense is. The Greek word is scandalon, which means bait. It was the bait stick for a trap when you would trap animals. Satan comes to bring an offense. He comes to get you offended, because if he can get you offended, then he's going to separate you from the very people you need to be in unity with, which is your family. So, are we listening to each other in the house, or are we just getting offended? When your husband needs to talk to you, are you just so angry with him, and he just even says one little thing, he gets on your last nerve and you show it? I'm just asking. Because before you know it, your heart can build up with a lot of offenses that you don't even know you've let stay. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Now, I need the grace of God. It's God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. Pastor Jim's definition, God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Grace. Grace isn't just unmerited favor. None of us know what that means. It is the power of God. It is the very substance of God, the very DNA of God, because he is my Father and I have a new nature. It is that grace that comes into my life and empowers me to do what I could never do. It empowers me to be long-suffering. It empowers me to shuttest thou uppest. It empowers sometimes. It empowers me to go where I've never gone, to do what I've never done, to say what I've never said, to think what I've never been able to think. It empowers me to be superwoman. That's what God has for you, grace. And it says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Listen, in families, offenses can begin to build up on the heart, and before you know it, you don't want to hang out with your brothers and your sisters. You don't want to hang out with your husband. You don't want to be with your kids. Why? Because you have offended. So I'm asking you this year, redefining priorities. Look at your heart. Have you got offenses? Have you allowed things to build up in your heart? God knows. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. Why? Because if I don't forgive, I can't get forgiven. And I need all the God I can get. And God said, you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. You are in prison and Satan has legal authority to play a racquetball with your heart because you are back in prison. Read Matthew chapter 18. That's what that parable means. So, offenses. What's the answer? 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love one for another. For love will cover a multitude of sins, shortcomings, offenses. The things that tick us off about each other. It's called being human and imperfect. But God's not finished with any of us yet. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. is not provoked. It's not on eggshells. It's not on a short fuse. Oh, got to watch mom, because you know what my husband told me? We were talking to Jess, and dad, I call him dad, so he'll be dad to you today. Dad said this on the car when we were talking to Jess, and he said, honey, he said, when your husband comes home, greet him and love him. Because a man knows when he's done something, he's going to get it when he comes home. And he doesn't want to come home because he doesn't want to face the get it. And I thought, that man is talking about me. I listened. And I thought, Lord, help me this year to greet my husband and my family, not with you're going to get it. Mom's ticked. You've offended her. You've done something wrong. But what if I greet them and let love cover the shortcomings, the offenses, and all the things that we do to each other just by being human? You know what I want to do this year? One of my priorities this year is I want to be kind. I don't want to be rude. I have rentals. You know, Jim and I have this little retirement program, and, you know, it's like this economy, they're not free and clear, so believe in God just like you are, okay? We're all in this together. And, you know, I don't know what it is about people that rent houses, but it's like they don't pay rent, and they thrash the house. And it's like, okay, did no one ever teach you that you need a roof over your head, and maybe that's the first thing you ought to pay is rent? And they lie to me. And they'll tell me, oh, it's in the mail, and it's not in the mail. You know, a month goes by, it's still not in the mail. Another month goes by, it's like, you know, and finally you just want to say, why are you lying to me? Why are you ditching me? Why don't you just talk to me? Communicate with me. I am not this horrible person. I will work with you. But they don't do that. And I just want to, you know, I just want to, God, get them, you know? And then I get sharp on the phone, and I just said, Lord, I'm done. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be unkind. Even when somebody has so hurt me and so misused me and taken advantage of me and owes me thousands of dollars, which that happens all the time to me. Yeah, I know. I'm not a very good landlady. Maybe pastors shouldn't be land people, you know, or whatever, you know, because of our mercy heart. You know, oh, you need a place to live. Well, you don't have a job. Oh, it's all right. We'll work it out. But I don't want to be rude. I want to be kind. So my priorities this year. Lord, when I get upset, when I've been wronged, when I'm in the business world and I'm dealing with business people, I want to be who I would be at girlfriends all the time. I just want to be kind because love isn't rude. See, this is the stuff I'm going through. And if I'm going through it, then you're going to go right through it with me. We have time for one more. Yeah, problem number three. So we've looked at honoring our husbands. We've looked at short tempers. We've looked at being easily offended. That was number two. Number three. How about this one with your family this year? You are always worried. Oh, I saw your faces just then. Some of you rolled those big, beautiful brown eyes. You live with worry. You never know what's going to happen, and your life is upside down. And okay, so you have a reason to worry. All right, how about if I give you permission that it's okay that you have worried? All right, I absolve you, all right, of worry. But now let's talk about worry, because worry is to fear what hope is to faith. Here's a kingdom principle. We're kingdom women. You have an imager on the inside of you. I've taught you this, but I'm going to teach it again until you get it so well you can teach it to somebody else. You're born with it. If I tell you right now to close your eyes and I want you to see a big gray elephant, what do you see on the inside? A big gray elephant. You just imaged it, right? Well, you think that's just not a big thing. You were born with that, but, you know, get a dog to do that, okay? You're made in the image of God. God said anything we imagine we can do. We see it on the inside, and then we get it on the outside. That's how we are. We're born with it, so we think it's no big deal. However, in the sin nature, when Satan came and usurped the authority and took this planet, and we inherited that sin nature, our imager went from hope and seeing what God says to what Satan says, and it became worry instead of hope. Are you seeing this? So now worry is the opposite of hope. Hope is believing for something wonderful, expecting good. Worry is expecting bad, but it hasn't happened yet. So your imager and my imager just switched over, because the kingdom of God operates in faith. Hope is what draws the blueprint for faith to go to work on. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we don't see. Hope draws the picture that my faith goes to work on. Worry is to fear what hope is to faith. In Satan's kingdom, fear operates our world. And worry feeds fear. Are you seeing this? Because worry is being concerned about something negative that is going to happen that hasn't happened yet. Right? So a lot of us live in a worried state. So instead of bringing peace to our homes, instead of our kids not waiting to get home because mom's there and she's going to greet them with not rudeness, not uptight, not offended, but just with smiles and joy and excitement and honor, glad our kids are home. No, he meets a very frayed, very uptight, very worried woman. And that's exactly what Satan wants. And we buy right into it. What if this year your priority at home was, I'm not going to worry? It is not my responsibility to worry. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, why do you worry? Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. You need them all. He knows that. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And all these things, taken together, will be given to you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. He's saying you only have to deal with one day at a time. And he says, why are you worried anyway? Instead of worry, why don't you just switch it over to hope? What you're worried about, just do the opposite of it. God, I'm worried about not having the money to pay the rent, because Pastor Debbie's my landlady and she's going to be calling me, and oh, she could be rude. Why don't we just instead say, Father, I thank you that you said you would supply all of my need by your riches and glory. Now, Lord, this is happening, but I choose not to worry. I choose to release hope and faith in what your word says. So what's the antidote to worry? And this is the last thing I'm going to say today, and we're going to be done because I've preached too long and you got to get to the tables. Listen, you're going to have to talk the word constantly. You're going to have to talk the word constantly. You're going to have to fill up. I have to fill up my mind and my heart and my words with what God says and not with what my worry and the world says. Because if I talk that talk, it decreases my stamina and depresses my heart. And before I know it, I'm in a doldrum of worry and unbelief. So I just want to give you a couple of scriptures. Now, I'm not going to go to fear because I don't have time, so I'm going to combine the two. So people that are working on the overheads, can you give me Malachi 3:16? First of all, give me Psalms 119:165, because this is a verse I've committed to memory, and I suggest that you do the same. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Father, I thank you that I have great peace today. and nothing shall offend me, because I love your law, and in your law, Lord, I am meditating day and night, and I begin to have self-talk. I begin to talk to me. I talk to me first, because me is always listening. Because you talk to yourself. So what is your self-talk? Is it worry or is it hope? If your self-talk is worry, then you got to switch your self-talk. And you begin to talk to yourself with the word. Malachi 3:16, I find this verse fascinating. Then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another. That's why we have girlfriends. You need some friends. If you can't talk to your husband the word, then you find a girlfriend that you can talk the word to, and you challenge each other to talk the word and not gossip and not what the world says, but what God's word says. Because listen, watch this. This is fascinating. Then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another. And the Lord listened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name. That's you and me. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be mine, to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. I don't know about you, but I started thinking, okay, when Jim and I are having coffee and we're talking, we can either talk worry or we can talk faith. And we have learned how to talk faith to each other. And I think, oh, there's God. I can just see him right. He's bending low and he's hearing our conversation. It is being written down. And he says to Jesus, those are my children right there. My jewels right there. Listen to them. Speak in the word and believe in God over San Bernardino, over this valley. How do you think any of this happened if people of faith did not begin to speak it and talk it and do it? This church wouldn't be here. This is how you live your life. If you don't have a husband to do it, then find a friend. Find a relative. Get on the phone. Oh, hi, Eleanor. Great peace have they who love the law of God, and nothing shall offend them, Eleanor. Yeah, okay, this is happening right now, but... And we begin to speak the word and talk the word and talk about Jesus and talk about the word of God. And God bends low and he writes it all down and he says, they're my girls. I don't know about you, but I am blessed that I am known in heaven. Nobody else may know me on this planet, but my God knows who I am. And if God knows who I am, then Satan knows who I am. And I have authority in the name of Jesus. Listen, this is how we live. This is how you make a marriage last for 32 years and not split apart. When you put two people like Jim and I together, who both have strong personalities, who both talk a lot, who both have tempers. That man couldn't live with a woman. And I'd have killed any man that would have tried to live with me. How do we have a marriage like we have? Because we came under authority to the word of God and we live like this. All right? Girls, honor. Have you treated your families as common? If you have, do some self-evaluation, talk to the Lord about it. This year, maybe reprioritize not to treat your family as common, but as special, precious, a gift to you that you want to treasure the moments that you have with them. Yes, they're a lot of work. Yes, it's hard raising kids. Yes, young moms, you got to keep them alive. And right now, that's the most important thing in the day, to just keep them alive. But in the meantime, while you're keeping them alive and you're feeding them and you're spanking them and you're training them and you're loving them and they're asking you a million questions and you have no time for yourself and your life is gone, remember that God has given you this season in your life and it's a treasure because you're raising up men and women of God for the kingdom of God. And nobody may know what you're doing, but God knows what you're doing. And what you're doing is so vital and so important that heaven's recording it all. Honor your families. Don't get easily offended. Forgive and let love cover. Just not going to think about that. I'm just going to forgive it, wash away in the blood, and off you go to a brand new experience. And worry. Why take worry on when God's given us something incredible called hope? His word that we can take and feed on and self-talk and begin to see the promises of God and speak the word of God. He bends low. He listens. He writes it down. And hope feeds your faith. And faith is the economy of heaven. It takes from the invisible and it brings into the visible realm. And the just shall live by faith. And the women of God that can believe, to them all things are possible. Amen.